Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
We have a big announcement coming up around 9:50 today in between our morning mystery movie clip and Today in Music History from Phil Almquist. We'll also find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and also get to a big three later this hour as we continue with the never-ending Monday edition. Of what's on the
There's
cut sheet.
There's just so much, guys. It is.
And we started on time today, folks.
We did. So this new Captain America, Anthony Mackie, was on the Pivot podcast. And they were talking about masculinity in boys. And he told the interviewer how he's raising his sons. And I wanted to get both, because by the way, the new Captain America got completely panned. Nobody saw it. Everybody called it, like, you know, the woke Captain America or whatever like that. But this dude is right on about what he's saying, in my opinion. But I want to get both your opinions on it. Cut 20. Go.
I keep my boys humble. Like, my boys have never had a pair of Jordans. You know, my boys don't do all that internet fly. I'm like your kids. And no, I don't. I could be the biggest star in the world. Do not let me catch you being stupid. Mm-hmm. Do not. And my oldest gets it. My 15-year-old, he tells the other ones, he's like, yo, don't make dad mad. Because once you get one that's right, he's going to straighten the other ones out. Mm-hmm. So it's just that thing of, in the past 20 years, we've been living through the death of the American male. They have literally killed masculinity in our homes and our communities.
Oh.
For one reason or another. But I raised my boys to be young men. And however you feel about that, you feel about that.
Right.
But my boys will always be respectful. They will always say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. No, sir, no, ma'am. They will always say thank you. They will always open a door for a lady. They will always make sure that their mother is taken care and provided for. They will always be men. And that's always since they were 2 years old. Every time I left for a job, I tell my 15-year-old, you're the man of the house. You make sure these doors are locked every night, this alarm is on, you text me or you call me every night before you go to bed and you wake up.
I love that.
Because we're men. If I'm not there to protect, he got to be there to protect. Because you can have all the money in the world, climb through the window, that money means nothing.
Right.
You can have all the celebrity in the world, jump through the door, that celebrity means nothing.
Yeah.
So you got to have a little guard in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and... So for me, it's always that idea of American masculinity is very different.
Wow. I mean, if he would have said all of that prior to Captain America being released, it might have been a box office smash.
You are correct.
It's
you are
very
correct.
Interesting, right?
True.
Yeah, that actually was a pivot on the Pivot podcast, which, by the way, was hosted by Ryan Clark, who can't help but always talk about race in the NFL. You know, I saw this also over the weekend with Hollywood movies. You know, woke Snow White, Rachel Zegler, she's been very outspoken, and we talked about it, and Dawn, you had the story last week about how Disney's rolling back the red carpet, so to speak, because they don't know how to handle her. She's kind of a loose cannon. She's AOC in Hollywood. She actually, according to reports I read over the weekend, is having a bit of a beef with another cast member in the movie over the other cast member being pro-Israel. So if I'm the director of this film, I sit back and I say, I pull my own little Greg Stocker here. I'd be like, I would be pulling out my hair. I've got Snow White, who's pro-Gaza. I've got another cast. I'm like, can we just stick to the script? Can you just be an actress and not a political activist? You're killing my chances of this film being successful. Yeah. And we're paying these people exorbitant amounts of money.
And Gail Gadot is, I mean, she's a Jewish. She has pro-Israel, and you know, she's been vocal about that.
Can you just stick to the script? That's what I would be yelling.
I'm very impressed with what he had to say, and I think that goes on more in the African American community than we know.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like I really do believe that.
But it shows you the importance of fatherhood.
It's nice to see. Yes, it's right? Nice to see that, and it's nice to hear it, and it's nice for people not to be ashamed of it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I'm raising my boys to be boys, and you know, that's it. You know, and they're still going to be respectful. They're still going to say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You know what I mean? All the right notes.
Yeah.
He just did it 6 months too late.
Right. And I feel like when we talk about, like, the family dynamics, boys, and this is no disrespect to mothers when it pertains to boys and dads, and same thing when it pertains to moms and daughters, no disrespect to fathers out there, but boys need a dad in their life. You're right, you have mom, mom's great, maybe mom's working two or three jobs, or you have that grandmother or that aunt that's a real hard ass and a stickler, that's great. But it's not the same if it doesn't come from your father. And broken families, or where families don't even know who the dad is, or the dad wants no part of being a father, you end up having what Dawn reports at 6:05 and 7:05, crime and violence and mischief and a lack of structure, and that leads to a lack of productivity. My dad put the fear of God in me very early on, very early on. And I feel like you have to do that. I'm not saying every dad needs to be, you know, like a drill sergeant. But yeah, and Anthony Mackie's probably gone for months on end filming films, right?
Yeah.
He's not home every night to make sure that his kid's in bed at 9 o'clock and he's put his phone away and the door's locked and the alarm's on.
Patty C. writes, really, Greg? 70% of black children are raised in homes without a male figure. I don't know if that statistic is correct, but I know that it is. I know that it is a plague in the black community. I'm not discounting that. So It's just nice to see that that somebody with such prominence is not a woke. I was gonna say something else, but I shouldn't. A woke person.
Well, he very might be woke, but he still believes in raising his kid upright as far as, the basic duties of a dad.
He has, he and his wife, and they were divorced after being married a long time, but they have four sons together.
Yeah. And my parents were divorced. My parents got divorced when I was 9 years old, 1993. Yeah. So,
comedian Bill Burr was on the Breakfast Club show. And by the way, isn't this a morning show? Like, you can curse on this show? I didn't realize that.
When did the Breakfast Club become a political show? I mean, I grant it, we're on the same time. I don't listen to it, and I wouldn't listen to it. But I swear, I mean, I get it, we play the clips that are political. Do they ever talk? Do they ever play music, or is it a talk show?
I have no idea. I don't listen to it. I just see clips, so I have no idea what they do. I'm just because I'm playing this clip from Bill Burr, and it's like he curses a lot in it, and I'm just like, did they dump this, or is it like, you know, theoretically they're on regular radio, so they shouldn't be able to curse.
Well, our clips do not get dumped.
They don't.
Right?
They don't.
On radio, it's dumped, but the app and YouTube, you can hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know. But anyway, Bill Burr discusses, he really hates Elon Musk.
Yeah, this is bizarre.
Roll it.
Period. And then like a few years later, this guy Siegtiled twice.
Two of them.
Once in the front, if you missed it, in the back. And it's just like, he still has a job. That guy still has a job? I don't understand those guys. And this isn't politically. It's just like, I don't understand why they're so upset with this country. It's like, you're billionaires. I think it's working for you. Like, you know, why are you going and telling everybody, you know, justify what you do? It's like, you can justify what you do. Mm-hmm. That piece of car that you're making that the government financed. No?
But you know what you just said? You said that Elon still has a job. He's the richest man in the world. There's nothing they can do to him. And that's all he proved. There's nothing anybody can do to him by throwing up when he did that. Yeah. What do you take from him? He's not Kyrie Irving. He's not Kanye. Like, what do you do?
Yeah, but you keep... I don't know. Listen, I don't know how this works. I'm just saying that, you know, if you said the wrong thing...
Spouting off.
All of a sudden, you lost your TV
show.
But
you're not the richest man in the world. He was the richest comedian in the world ever.
Imagine Bill Burr. What I don't get is the amount of veterans that the people in the armed services that died trying to stop Hitler, and then this guy comes in, you know, and does that while being an immigrant too, which is kind of the whole thing. Just none of it like tracks how you can be the support the troops, you know, America, love it or leave it, and then this guy comes in and gives a shout out to Hitler.
Makes no sense at all.
Yeah, it doesn't. So
Yeah, Bill, I don't know if they're enjoying your comments.
I was just going to say.
I'm not trashing Republicans. All Republicans did not Sieg Heil. That guy did. Yeah. And I was just amazed that all liberals had was one day of outrage. And they're like, all right, I guess that didn't work. And then we just kind of move on.
Because they realize they can't do anything to him. Like, what do you do other than send out some angry tweets?
I think Charlemagne's like, hey, never have Bill back on the show. The studio, the cast members aren't digging this. It's not a good vibe. It's amazing is the outrage for this guy when you think about it. They loved him when he was the climate guy. They loved him for his electric vehicles. He's doing things in space. And then the pivot happened in 2022 into 2023 when he spent $44 billion, lost $22 billion in the transaction to restore free speech, whether you like it or not, on a platform where you're not granted free speech liberties because Twitter under Jack Dorsey was a private company. Shadow banning, censoring, and silencing all of us was BS, but it was their right to do it. We were not protected under the First Amendment. And then he becomes a villain. Then he joins Trump and says, hey, you know what Obama said back in 2011? Why don't we, I'll kind of head that up. Which, by the way, there's a story out there, and I don't know if somebody can find it. You know, Tanya Chutkan, the D.C. judge, is examining whether or not Elon Musk has this power to do what he's doing. But it's not actually Elon Musk at the top of the Doge food chain. There's a female that is in charge of the operation, which makes me think that Elon Musk is just kind of like the flashy spokesperson for it, right? Like, he's who they're promoting in the advertisements, but it's not him truly calling all the balls and the strikes.
Yeah.
That story's out there. We should try to find that story.
By the way, I want to see, I wanted to read a post that Louis C.K. wrote about Bill Burr, because I think people get the misconception that Bill Burr was like some conservative firebrand and now all of a sudden he's woke. That is not the case. That, and anybody who's followed Bill Burr's career for as long as I have knows that he complains and bitches about everything. That's what he does. And Louis C.K. over the weekend tweeted, Bill Burr is a bald ginger bitch that complains about everything and everyone. Bill Burr has always been the same. You all started crying when he made fun of your newfound heroes, which he's 100% correct. Now you sound like a bunch of crying liberal woke bitches trying to cancel someone for saying their opinion. If it's not funny to you, scroll on by or don't buy a ticket. See how that works? Free speech, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's 100% right.
Yes.
He's 100% right.
And I think at the end of the day, forget the trying to cancel somebody based on a thought that you don't agree with. I still believe that we, the people, hold the power for people's success, fortune, and fame in this country.
Yep.
Bud Light, the perfect example. People did not like Dylan Mulvaney being a spokesperson for Bud Light. Bud Light paid the price for that and has never recovered. Whether it's boycotts on the left or boycotts on the right, same thing with the cost of coffee. If you don't like the fact that Starbucks charges $6.87 for a medium drink, don't buy it. If enough of us don't support a product or content, it eventually has to change or it goes away.
Yep.
Never forget that we, the consumer, hold all the power.
Agreed.
And on any company, if we wanted to boycott, if we all had the ability right now to boycott Apple, we could bring Apple to their knees. We legitimately could. If 300 million Americans said, I'm done with the iPhone, I'll never buy another iPhone again, we hold the power. I mean, it's just, it's really simple.
All right, I think I've exhausted the cut sheet.
I'm shot.
We should break.
I'm shot. I've got nothing left.
We have, by the way, for those that weren't here at 7 o'clock, we're going to do 80s trivia tomorrow for a $50 gift card to Gallo's Seafood and Harv's Burger Bar. If you can answer three of these questions, and go back on the Odyssey app right at 7 o'clock. I did some questions for Kale and Dawn, and
it didn't go well.
They failed miserably at all of them. So if you think you can do this, it's not just 80s trivia like, hey, what year did Michael Jackson's Thriller come out? It's not just that.
Yeah.
You know, there's political questions, there's cultural questions, anything that happened in the 80s. Is this, and if you get three correct, you'll win the $50 gift card. We can do that tomorrow for Tuesday trivia.
And what did I prove in the little tease for that earlier this morning? That when this radio show goes south, I'm done, folks. There's not much of a market for me elsewhere. Gale and Company. At least I'm back after this on Talk Radio 1210.
It's Gale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Time for a Dawn Stensland Big 3 at 9:20.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Gale and Company.
Sponsored by Kitchen Magic this morning.
A court ruling that really hit the news really on Friday. It made all the headlines. And so this is a scathing ruling written up by a Philadelphia judge critical of District Attorney Larry Krasner's office, accusing Krasner and his office of unfairly treating two former prosecutors. So we all know that when Krasner took office originally in Philadelphia, he fired some 100 of these veteran prosecutors and ADAs, and it has been a point of contention. This is the case before Judge Common Pleas Court Judge Anne-Marie Coyle, and she says that these accusations that Krasner's office leveled 7 years ago against two individuals, Beth McCaffrey and Richard Sachs, including that they were being accused of illegally withholding evidence to secure a wrongful conviction, had no good faith basis and were maliciously intended. And so the scathing ruling really by Judge Coyle said a culture was created in Krasner's office that seeks to, quote, denigrate prior prosecutors and prior administrations.
So
a damning ruling.
Krasner basically dozed a bunch of DAs, some of which were probably very much interested in prosecuting people to the fullest extent of the law. And he weeded out the real hard-nosed, hard-line prosecutors, is what I gather?
Well, it wasn't a doge. It had nothing to do with efficiency. It had to do with politics. Because remember, he had never been really a prosecutor before. He was a civil rights, civil defense attorney.
Mm-hmm. Some would say he's still a defense attorney.
And so this was when he came into office, it was kind of a shocker to everybody because he just fired people, right? They might be a day away from being within the prosecutor's office going to court, you know, with a case of an accused killer, an accused murderer. So mostly, and that's why we've seen like the victims' families coming forth. They testified here. They testified in Harrisburg, quite frankly, just saying, what the heck happened? You had, you know, some people, they were preparing to go to trial for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's like the rug was pulled out from underneath them.
Yeah.
And so this would seem to be verification of that.
Wow.
So I think this is a significant ruling in Judge Anne-Marie Coyle's. She's the Common Pleas Court judge who ruled. And it's, I would say, a bit unusual. You don't generally speaking see this kind of a scathing ruling by the judge just saying there's a preponderance of evidence to show this culture in the office.
Not good headlines when we're talking about re-election status and re-election bid.
Yes. And I'll stick with local news that we also have. You know, this is you talked about Josh Shapiro, Governor Josh Shapiro, another headline this morning. And that has to do with that Bill Maher interview that we played in the cut sheet that Nick had talked about in his big take starting at 6 o'clock this morning. And this is Shapiro critical of Senate leader, you know, Chuck Schumer, saying he should have used his leverage in that government shutdown fight. So this internal battle within the Democrat Party as they continue to talk about it, making national headlines.
It's interesting now. So we have Schumer and Shapiro, you have Fetterman and Crockett, and then AOC is, quote, the voice in the face of the party. You might have three different factions. Boy, I tell you, if you're a low-key, low-energy, moderate Democrat, you probably feel like a person without a party right now. You know, we talked about Andy Beshear, and you talk about people like Ro Khanna out in California, free speech Democrats. Those Democrats, they can't get a word in edgewise these days with all the vocal factions in this party. It's kind of glorious to witness.
Yeah, it is.
2 years ago, it was the Republican Party that was in disarray. You were giving us lectures every day about get it together, Republicans.
Well, especially in Pennsylvania. And
yes.
I give the credit on that one as far as our own Linda Kearns, who we love, but also her boss, if you will, Michael Whatley, that they came up with these election integrity attorneys and teams, and they were in court just battling everything, but really going to court, taking things to make sure that the laws were followed. And when they saw that they were being followed, they dropped the case, because the only point to that was to hold everybody's feet to the fire to say, hey, during these election times, we're going to make sure that the laws are being followed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bottom line on that one. Number three, I was debating, we haven't talked a lot about Sherelle Parker's budget and the fact that she's backing the police, which was a campaign promise. I will tell you, I'll go Trump. I'll go with this one with Trump because we've talked a lot about Trump this morning. So we know that President Trump and President Putin will be speaking. That's tomorrow, as they've brought Putin to the table and in hopes of ending the war between Russia and Ukraine. So the official conversation happens tomorrow for your Tuesday, which is Greg's favorite word of the week, at least to say. Tuesday.
Could very well lead to a Wednesday big take. I'll still stand by my prediction. I believe that we will have peace between those two nations. The war will be over at some point this spring. Yeah. I know Stocker disagrees with that.
No. I'm just saying that your definition, both of your definitions of peace and the war being over, mm-hmm. is very different, because mm-hmm. it doesn't end well for Ukraine in any scenario.
True.
No.
So,
of course not.
No, that. I would agree with you. I still am curious to know about an estimated $300 billion in assets, $5 billion of which the United States holds. The majority is held by the EU. And so I know they were meeting last week and talking. I don't hear a lot about this, but that money is clutch, because I predict that a chunk of that cash is going to go to Ukraine.
Chunk.
Speaking of chunks of
cash.
Are
we sending more money to Israel this week? I'm asking for a friend. Sorry.
I hope it all dries up. I want some money sent to my bank account. Okay. Wired or Venmo'd. You mentioned earlier, Dawn, I know you decided to pass on Sherelle this time around in the big three. Was it $6.7 billion?
Mm-hmm.
That seemed a little high. I get we're a big city. $6.7 billion for 1 year in a budget?
Show me the money.
I'm just pointing out that number. And when we talk about, we keep hearing about billions and billions with Doge and funding foreign wars. $6.7 billion 1 year in Philadelphia, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what's interesting they're focusing on is $872 million of that would be for rebuilding the police budget. And that would include all the technology upgrades, trying to recruit. And so essentially what I read into that in part is that under Kenny's administration, there was a lot of damage done.
Yes.
And the defund the police movement.
So now you've got to crank out close to $1 billion to reestablish what you destroyed in the first place.
To rebuild, because we need the policing. This is a mayor who this is a mayor who campaigned on rebuilding this and anti-defund the police. So
Okay.
Whether or not we want to talk about that, but. What she's saying is we need this to fight against the violence.
Okay.
Pro police mayor. Kitchen Magic is our sponsor. Make the magic happen with Kitchen Magic. Their experts are going to guide you every step of the way, from free in-home design consultations to top-notch installation. Right now you can enjoy 40% off installation, 40% off the cost of installation. Visit KitchenMagic.com today. Thank you, Kitchen Magic, for sponsoring Big Three.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, we get to the morning mystery movie clip. Today in music history, Phil Ahlquist's big announcement, woo-hoo! As well as what is on tap for the Dawn Show 25 minutes from now. And what could it be with Phil Ahlquist?
Uh-oh.
Is he ready to take the leap and become a barista at Starbucks?
He's leaving.
Light of the strike.
He's leaving to make more money at Starbucks.
He'll still stream us at Starbucks and scare off all the woke customers.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Monday morning, St. Patrick's Day. One last quick story before we get to all of the usual things to wrap up a day's worth of activity. Gave you the Outkick story earlier. Outkick.com and Fox News had the woke bracket, and we crowned a champion, courtesy of yours truly, Harry Mays, Dawn Stensland, and Greg Stocker. Rachel Maddow won the Kale and Company woke bracket challenge. But I also teased earlier today, in light of Rosie O'Donnell, we gave you that story late last week, that Rosie O'Donnell has fled the United States of America. delivering on her promise and being a lady of her word that she would leave America if Donald Trump was elected president. And she now joins a distinct group of three individuals, including Eva Longoria and Ellen DeGeneres. But Chris Plant, who hosts one of the late-night shows on Newsmax, has actually gathered all of the people that at one point in the last 9 years have said they will leave the country, that are still here after Donald Trump was elected. And I just wanted to rip through these numbers here because we have a very, very, very short segment. Robert De Niro, Rob Reiner, Whoopi Goldberg, Joy Behar, Rachel Maddow, Beyonce, Pink, Lady Gaga, Julia Roberts, Jennifer Garner, Kim Kardashian, George Clooney, a.k.a. Barack Obama's mouthpiece when it doesn't come from David, whatever his name was. Who's the guy I'm thinking of? David...
Muir.
No, not Muir. Who's the mouthpiece for Obama? The strategist.
Axelrod.
Axelrod. I couldn't think of it. Yeah, he's basically what Carville was to Clinton. Leonardo DiCaprio, Oprah, Hugh Jackman, Renee Zellweger, Cardi B, Lizzo, Ariana Grande, Billie Eilish, J-Lo, Bono, Cher, Jane Fonda, Madonna, Sharon Stone, Neve Campbell, Ryan Gosling, Ava Mendez, Bryan Cranston, Jamie Lee Curtis, Kathy Griffin, Chelsea Handler, Miley Cyrus, George Lopez, Snoop Dogg, Michael Keaton, Samuel L. Jackson, John Stamos, a.k.a. Uncle Jesse from Full House, Keegan-Michael Key, John Legend, Chrissy Teigen, Spike Lee, Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Kimmel, Jon Stewart, Bill Maher, Bruce Springsteen, Barbara Streisand, Stormy Daniels, Eminem, and Tommy Lee.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
You are the 74 that have not followed through on your word, like Rosie, Ava, and Ellen DeGeneres. And the clock is ticking. The clock is absolutely ticking. We're going to stay up on this, and we're going to keep tabs on you. As Dawn says, we're going to keep watching and, you know, keep track of what's breaking and developing, because I want these people to follow through and leave. I love the fact, too, that these people, they always go out and they say this. They never do it as if anybody really actually cares. Nobody is going to miss any of these people if they leave the country. And we live in a day and age with social media and technology that if you leave one place, it doesn't really impact your ability to be a performer. So good work out of Chris Plant. I would also suggest that Chris Plant get a life and stop tracking all of these and chronicling this. But you helped me fill 3 minutes, so thank you very much, Chris. All right, we'll come back, wrap it up with Today in Music History, our morning mystery movie clip. The big announcement, courtesy of Phil Omquist, and what's on tap for the Dawn Show. Stay right there. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles, featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands. I'm talking about Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. You know, these models have such sleek new designs as well as innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. And right now they have thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across their Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles always stands out. Visit them. PiazzaPremiumAutos.com, P-I-A-Z-Z-A, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Monday morning, St. Patty's Day, as we get ready to hand it off to Dawn Stensland at the top of the hour. But first, a couple of odds and ends to tie up, and we start with our morning mystery movie clip.
And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I am Yvonne Chekhov, and you will be closing now.
Chekhov, well, this here's McCoy. We find a Spock, we got us an away team.
I'm in no mood for discussion. You stay, the rest of you. Go now.
You don't have to be hard asses, do you?
Yeah, it's St. Patty's Day. Everyone's Irish tonight. Why don't you just pull up a stool and have a drink with us?
Think you know what it is?
Great movie.
Call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, today we have a pair of tickets to see jazz guitarist and I am totally going to botch this name.
Yeah.
Josko Stepan.
Sure.
Sounds like an interesting guy. Jazz guitarist Josko Stepan on Sunday, March 23rd at the Zlock Performing Arts Center in Bucks County. For tickets and more information, visit bucks.edu/tickets. Best of luck. Caller 12 855 839-1210. Now we get to Today in Music History.
What happened on this day in music history? Music History, history on Kaling Company.
Today in Music History is sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind. Join Best Work Industries for the Blind for a Dining in the Dark experience on October 2nd at Adventure Aquarium in Camden, New Jersey. And expand your appreciation of taste, smell, touch, hearing, and vision. Come support a great cause. Visit bestworkindustries.org to learn more and register. So instead of giving you the usual music today, I'm going to cede my time right now back to Nick.
Yes, wow. Because my music knowledge is far superior than Phil's.
But I mean, this is episode 291, so yeah. I figured one time.
291?
291, so, yep.
Don, he has it tracked.
291.
Yeah.
It is not so much about today in music history, but this week in music history, because Phil Almquist is expanding, folks.
Expanding.
Yeah, that's right.
Not having a baby?
Not physically.
No, thank God.
He's not like a guy. He's not morphing into Chris Christie.
No.
Because he is getting his own show right here on Talk
what?
Radio 1210.
Who signed off on this?
WPHT.
Oh, did I?
All the Phil timers out there.
They have to be moist right now.
Yeah.
Because starting Saturday night, every week, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., Phil Almquist will now not only close out your day for Kale and Company, he will close out your Saturday evenings.
Woo-hoo!
Like a barista at Starbucks working 6 days a week. So congratulations to Phil Almquist.
Yeah.
This week in music history. And it debuts this weekend?
This coming Saturday night, 11 p.m.
Congratulations.
Wait, are you going to be playing music?
Yes. And we're going to
rock. What? Who signed off on this?
You did. You actually did. You're the band manager. You did.
I take back my decision.
I've actually been informed by my sources close to the situation that Phil Almquist will actually have a co-host on the show, and his name is
Bingo Handjob.
So it'll be Phil and Bingo Handjob.
I could moderately agree with that.
Yeah.
All right.
Starting this Saturday, in all seriousness, congratulations. This week in music history, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night, Phil Almquist. There might be occasional bumps for sports, but that'll be in the fall.
You'll get preempted
fall.
For, like, Temple Lacrosse or something?
That'll be in the fall, so don't worry about it.
There you go.
There you go, buddy. Congratulations.
Well, let's wrap up with our winner. We've got Jimmy in Philadelphia. Who knows Jimmy in Philadelphia's movie? Jimmy, what did Jimmy Kelly pick out for you today as our movie clip?
My favorite movie, The Boondock Saints.
Yeah, there you go. Buddy. Woo!
Congratulations. You're off to the Glock or the Zlock. put a Glock to my head. A guitarist that I can't pronounce the name of. So congratulations. You've got the tickets. All right, Dawn Stenzel, what do we have lined up in 6 minutes?
Yeah, coming up exclusively, R.E.M. and Bingo Handjob. Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Bingo Handjob.
Sorry. So we have a lot of breaking news. We'll talk about AI, the race to build the best artificial intelligence products, what that means, and put it all together for you. So the latest breaking news right here is about the Houthis, the Trump administration, the warship on the move. And what that looks like if we just pull back a little bit and look at what Trump is doing as far as who is a terrorist, who is threatening America. So on all of these different fronts, we'll take you through it. These are the latest developments. We've got guests. We've got breaking news, developing news here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and beyond, all the Trump stuff. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Right. Buckle in.
Yes.
Buckle in.
If you're a Houthi or from Hamas, you're on notice. All right, stay tuned. The Dawn Show is up next. We are back tomorrow at 6 a.m., as John Fetterman would say.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.